Welcome to Smith Weekly Discussions, an occasional program for our members of Smith Weekly Research. Please note this program is a private discussion and everything contained herein is for entertainment and educational purposes only. With that, we hope you're in a comfortable position, along with your favorite beverage, to enjoy the discussion. We remind our audience to examine our show notes attached to each of our shows to better understand how our program functions. Before we get into our discussion, we want to say thanks for questions coming from our audience at Smith Weekly, including Harris R., Bob G., Jeff S., Gabe F., and Paul M. On the program today is a returning guest. Mr. Jason Bagg is back with us. Jason is the president and CEO of Puranium Energy. The company is focused on Namibia Greenfields uranium exploration within the Erongo Uranium District of Namibia. Puranium Energy holds a number of exclusive prospecting licenses nearby existing uranium deposits, and also near past or current uranium mining operations, totaling about 80,000 hectares of exploration grounds, which is about the third largest land holding of a publicly listed uranium exploration-focused company in Namibia, behind Elevate Uranium and Deep Yellow. Puranium Energy is listed on the Canadian Securities Exchange under the symbol UX, as well as on the Frankfurt Stock Exchange under the symbol 2D. Okay. Jason, thank you for coming back on the program. Welcome.
Hi, Andrew. Great to talk to you again. Thanks for having me back.
Yeah, Jason, it's a pleasure. Good to chat with you again. It's been probably close to a year since we've chatted, so probably a bit overdue. Well, Jason, let's get off the ground here by having you just cover your thoughts on what you're seeing out there with the current uranium market events.
Well, Andrew, the market has developed along the lines of what you and I talked about during our last meeting to 2023. The production side of the industry has struggled to respond, whether it be less than expected production with the majors or delays and less than expected production with the second tier restart producers, meaning, you know, the ISR restart companies or even Paladin, who is restarting next door to our EPLs, which is 8084 and 7646. Which are exploration projects. To add to that, when you look at the shorter lead time developers, like such as Global Atomic and Niger, that is clearly delayed by at least 1 year, if not two or more. The supply response, Andrew, it's really not getting there, even with higher prices hanging around north of $80 a pound, both on the short term and the spot market. So I see the price needing to stay higher for longer before some of these problems get worked out. But, the new build projects in North America, Namibia, Australia will still be needed to be built by the end of the decade. So just to start to backfill some of that gap that we're seeing, from between primary production and what we think what utilities will be needing going forward into the next decade. So the demand side remains strong, with existing fleet burn, extensions, Japan restarts, and policy shifts to bring on new conventional units over the next decade. The World Nuclear Association figures there'll be around 10 units connected to the grid this year, another 8 units next year, another 10 units in 2026, and then another 11 in 2027. So, 39 conventional units are likely to be powered up by the end of the decade. And even if we only get half of those numbers, Andrew, it still significantly increases U308 requirements on the mining side, not to mention the lead times that are needed to get that house in order.
Good, quick synopsis on the market. Thank you for that. I think that pretty much covers things off really well in a succinct way. So I appreciate the comments on that and how you're seeing it. Let's dive into Puranium. I'll come to the capital structure in a moment, Jason, but the company has been quiet, not many updates. Maybe you can shed some light on what's going on.
You're right, Andrew. Actually, we have been pretty quiet. We've been keeping our heads down with administrative work and some basic level field work to determine the best selection of drill targets for a future drill program that we'd plan on likely starting late this year or in 2025. But we do have a great team of Mary Barton, Roger Lane, who are leading those efforts on the ground in Namibia, along with the assistance of our in-country consultant, Kings Franz Ndongo. And one of the things that we're doing is reviewing similar existing deposits nearby our EPLs to determine further patterns and characteristics that will help us narrow down, where we would want to test these targets with a drill. But we are on a small staff and limited budget, so this takes time, as you can imagine. All the mineralization that we're looking for is paleochannel calcrete type. It's very similar to Deep Yellow's Tumas project, Paladin's Langer-Heinrich, and Elevate's Kopis project, all of which are in our area. So these types of deposits are typically 20 to 40 meters in depth, with mineralization often occurring around 10 meters, with the main ore bodies coming in around 20 to 30 meters. So very conventional, it's shallow, low grade, or usually around 100 to 400 parts per million. But while on this, Andrew, I just want to point out that Elevate Uranium has demonstrated exploration success nearby our EPLs. Like, just look at the Kopis Uranium Project. And first, let me say that Murray Hill has done an exceptional job working this deposit at Elevate. They started this project from scratch in about 2021, and now it has a JORC resource of about 58 million pounds at about 200 parts per million, which is slightly above average in this area. And that's with a discovery cost of around 7 cents US per pound. I mean, they're drilling holes on average, like conservatively, for about 1300 US per hole. Well, and the point of all this, that the grounds that Uranium holds has similar potential, and we are very confident that we will have similar mineralization. We just need to organize, do extensive work to define where we're going to need to place those drills in the future. So we know that these grounds can provide large scale and low grade deposits that are in the money at today's uranium prices. So the upside leverage can really push these projects ahead. We know Deep Yellow is serious about construction at Tumas, so these potential exploration pounds will be important as interest returns back to Namibia.
I think it gives a good flavor for folks to understand, what is here, the proximity to the projects, and specifically the mineralization and the fact that while it is low grade, material is there. We just need to go out and find it, and to find it efficiently can be less expensive than competition globally. So it has its pluses and minuses for sure, just like any other jurisdiction or region or even ore body types. Appreciate that piece of it.
Yeah. And Andrew, if I may, I'd also like to mention that while this is our first focus in our land package in Namibia, this has notable leverage upon discovery. We have also been actively looking at other projects and jurisdictions for uranium as part of our overall strategy. We're looking to other Africa region projects as well as North America, mainly United States, and also Australia projects. And so we're in discussions, and they continue, and we're working on a successful outcome on this front in the near future.
That sounds good, Jason. Well, come back to Namibia for a moment as well, as far as the interest. We're seeing increased interest and activity in Athabasca Basin area in Canada, of course. We're seeing increased interest, obviously, in the United States. Is there anything happening in Namibia besides the publicly listed known incumbents, of course, that are well known and the household brands that we know about? But are there any other things happening in Namibia at this point?
Yes, actually, Andrew, that's a good point. But Bannerman Energy just did a deal with another company, Norinex, that's listed on the ASX and on one of their exploration grounds. Also, Ore Resources obtained EPLs and is expected to conduct uranium exploration work. So yes, aside from the well-known companies in this district, more interest is arriving, which is a great thing to see.
Thank you for that, Jason. That's a good point there. And other companies are popping up, and so I appreciate the insights on that. That one company in particular I hadn't seen yet, so I appreciate you bringing that to my attention. Let's talk capital structure for a moment. Update us on the current shares outstanding, if you would, the cash on hand, and how far that gets you this year, as well as, of course, say what you can say here, but the major shareholders on the roster.
Well, Andrew, despite our share performance recently, our common shares move on little volumes both ways. And due to a financing that wrapped up in January, we now have close to 32 million shares outstanding, on a fully diluted basis, about 44 million shares. But if you break that share structure down, management and the board hold about 14.5% of those shares, which include our Namibian partner. And 40% of that is actually held with some larger strategic investors based out of the United States. And the rest of the percentage would be held in retail hands. And as far as cash is concerned, well, we have about 250,000 in treasury, and we expect that will carry us to up till around the fourth quarter of this year. If not, we can stretch it into 2025.
One follow-up, Jason. Would you raise capital prior to year end if there's, success on other fronts, as you mentioned before?
If the right circumstances prevail, Andrew, yes, we would, but not at this price. We don't have to raise, and if needed, we can slash budget and stretch into the first quarter of 2025 if needed, as I mentioned. But I will say that the current market conditions, we have investor interest and people willing to give us money. Also, just to note that our capital raise that closed in February was oversubscribed. We took a little bit more money than what we had originally figured, but demand is here given the market conditions and also the potential that we have in Namibia with our properties.
Jason, thank you for that. And Jason, audience question here, different subject. How do you get updates on the inventories that utilities hold?
Oh, all right. Well, I use TradeTech as a first choice for looking at that. Also, you could follow some of the limited details that the Commerce Department, the EIA, and Energy Department from the U.S. puts out on domestic utilities. Otherwise, there are some other bits and pieces in the public realm. But otherwise, I would suggest a consultant, of which some specialize in the area.
Yeah, I think TradeTech's always a good choice if people can get access to that. And of course, some of the other pieces that you added there as well. I appreciate the comments on that, Jason. One of the other things, will you be talking more to the market? What is the plan to get more word out about Puranium?
That's a good question, Andrew, because we've been very quiet, and that's because we're working on a few strategies, as I mentioned, but we expect to have more progress in the coming months, and we hope to be able to talk more about that with our shareholders in the near future.
Very well. And Jason, the company did drop some EPLs from its land package earlier this year. What was the reason for that?
We did, and specifically EPL 7337 and 7907. They just didn't pass our initial reviews by our technical team. So we decided not to renew them due to the results we found and the opinion of our geologists. But the remaining EPLs we have will be kept in good order and be renewed in the coming years.
Another audience question that came in here. This person wanted to know a little bit about your time commitments to Puranium and what you would like to accomplish this year with the company.
Well, Puranium is my primary focus, and I'm committed to progressing things in due course. This year, my goal is to advance our exploration work to establish a maiden drill program on EPL 8084, and that'll be later in the year, hopefully, if not early 2025. That's if everything goes well. Of course, I'd also like to complete some type of transaction, as I mentioned before. Andrew, plus talk to the market more about what we're doing and how we plan to get to these goals.
Well, Jason, let's leave it there for this update. I do appreciate it, and I think we covered off everything we wanted to talk to you about. And I'll leave you with this last question here as we wrap up. For potential investors who are listening in, the company has a market capitalization around 2 million Canadian dollars. Why should Puranium Energy be considered within the institutional, family office, and retail investors' portfolio at this point?
That's a good question, Andrew, but I believe that Puranium offers a great value proposition at this point. We have good capital structure that's held very well. We have an attractive collection of EPLs in Namibia that, given our neighbors as a discovery comparable, likely will have uranium somewhere on them. We're keeping our costs low. We're working on some other initiatives as well. And the market cycle is coming for the class of junior companies that we find ourselves in. In other words, the market is healthy, but most of the money is at the other end of the curve. Now that will change as the cycle matures and investors seek other places within the uranium sector to place their capital.
And Jason, what is the best way for interested parties to reach out to the company?
People can contact me directly by email, which is jbagg, that's JBAGG, at puraniumenergy.com, and I welcome any questions anyone might have.
Jason, well, thank you. I appreciate that. And we plan to catch up later this year. Looking forward to the progress.
Great. Thanks a lot, Andrew. Appreciate being on your show again. Let's keep in touch.